Hello, and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, How You Become Righteous Already in Progress.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today to another healing school. Praise the Lord. When somebody comes to my church and said, oh, I see you're under, you know, that you've got a Christmas tree and you got lights on it and all that kind of stuff, and don't you know that's against the Word of God? I just have to say, well, it depends on who you are. Are you a son? A daughter? If you are, and you're walking in love, you're walking under grace, and there ain't no rules. Isn't that wonderful? There is no law, no rules against me if I'm walking in love and I'm a child of God. I have no law to live under. You know, now then, there's a lot of rules that under the new covenant that God wants us to do, and as long as we walk in love, those things all work. In fact, I got tickled at George up here. George and Becky, they come to healing school pretty regular. But anyway, whenever they, here a while back, several, maybe a year or two or three ago, they'd been out to a hotel and spent the night, and they were coming to a healing school the next morning. So they got up and they went by and had breakfast or something, and or lunch or whatever it was, and then she developed indigestion. And so when they came here, she said, I've had indigestion the whole time, and I've been uncomfortable, and I have prayed for myself and prayed for myself and prayed for myself, and nothing works. I said, well, you're breaking one of God's rules, Becky. She said, what do you mean? I said, you're not walking in love with your husband. The scripture says you are to submit to him in everything. Well, can I pray for myself? I said, absolutely not. Not get anything done, you can't. I said, he's your head. She said, nobody ever told me this. I said, but that's what the Word says. So I said, I want you to repent right now, and I want your husband to reach over and lay his hand on your stomach and say, in Jesus' name. And he did. And what happened, Becky?
It just went away.
Isn't that amazing? And now as I stood out there in the hallway with him and talked to especially Becky a few minutes ago, she said, you know, it's just getting to be absolute fun. Said, every time George prays for me, I get healed instantly. That makes it fun too, doesn't it, George? Because you know that Jesus is right there with you. When you pray for your bride and he does whatever you ask him for, you know he's there.
Amen.
And don't you love it?
Oh, I love it.
I love it too. And don't you love it? Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God?
Amen.
And that all the promises of God are yes and amen.
Amen.
I just love serving the Lord, and I love seeing him do these wonderful things. And you know, you just need to realize that who you are. That is the biggest secret there is, because I've asked this question in hundreds of churches across the country. And I can take a church of have 100 or 200 men in the church service, and I'll say, okay, the Word of God says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We've heard that, right? The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I said, all we need, obviously, is a righteous man. Because if we don't have any righteous men, we don't get any prayers answered. So I said, how many of you men, so I'll take a group of 200, how many of you men, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I would ask this question, know that if you pray for somebody, you're going to get your answer because you know you're righteous before God. Now, I'd have to ask that question. I said, how many of y'all could do that? Hold up your hand. And out of a group of about 200, I might get 1 to 5. And I said, well, you see what's happened here. It says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I said, nobody knows they're righteous. And the reason they don't is because they look at themselves. Now, George can't possibly be righteous because, you know, he's... You know, there's no, oh, I'm thinking him and Becky had a knockdown drag out last week. You know, I'm just kidding. I don't know none of this.
We didn't.
You didn't. I didn't figure you did. I wouldn't have said that if I. But the thing about it is, there's some little something that little critter that's sitting on my shoulder saying, but George, you know God ain't going to answer your prayer. Remember when you did this.
Really? So he knows all that, doesn't he, George? And so when we look at ourselves, we can know we are not righteous. And so we know we can't get a prayer answered. Because like I said, I worked hard in the Baptist church. I mean, I maintained over there at Louisville and in the Lakeland Baptist Church, where I was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, everything, worked on every committee there was in the church. Whenever I left there, Dr. Ben Smith said, "One thing I'll say about Thurman, he's not a normal Christian." He said, "This man, he has maintained the bus fleet all by himself. He overhauls transmissions, engines, everything. He keeps our buses running. He even pays for the parts. We don't have to do nothing. He does everything." And he said, every service, whether it be Sunday morning or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or whatever it is, he's always here. And then after Sunday service, he takes a handful of people and goes and visits those that come. He said, he is not normal. I guarantee he is a worker bee for the kingdom. But just think, if you'd asked me this question, how many prayers have you had answered lately? Why do you do this? Because you're righteous? I said, well, I'm trying to be righteous, George. I'm working my heart out trying to be righteous. And it ain't working. Right. And it ain't working. And so I kept on looking and reading and studying the Word of God. And I say, you know, there's something wrong with this picture. I have all these friends, men that are deacons, Sunday school teachers, and we don't ever see an answer to prayer. We go down and pray for people on Wednesday night during the prayer meeting, and we take a list of names and we will pray, call out their names, and nothing ever happens. There must be a problem. Don't you think so, sir? But that's where I lived. And then one day, I mean, I started studying God's Word. Like Dave says, sometimes when I started reading and studying God's Word, I used to be an airline pilot a long time ago, and I flew DC-8s all over the world. I was even an instructor for Spartan School of Aeronautics up in Oklahoma. I taught aircraft up there. I taught the Lockheed Electra and the DC-8 5062 series for Braniff here at Love Field and at DFW. I mean, I've had some training in airplanes. And when you take a manual on an airplane, if it says something about how this system works on this airplane, I took it exactly like it said. In other words, if it says this airplane at this power setting is going to use this much fuel and it can go this distance, I took that. That was the gospel. That's the way it's going to be. But when it come to the Word of God, I treated it like a totally different book. I would read a book that says, you know, that we are now sons of God. When I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am a son of God. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And when I would read that, I think, wouldn't that be nice if that was true? But see, on that airplane manual, I read it and said, it is true. I know this is true, and I don't even know the guys that are writing the books. I don't even know the men that are building and designing the airplanes, but I believe that airplane is going to do exactly what that book said it's going to do. And so I had no problem flying those airplanes all over the world using books of men that wrote them that I didn't even know, didn't know anything. But when it comes to God's Word, after all, you know, the man that writes the book, he's really smart and educated, but you know, Jesus don't know nothing, does he? That's the way we live our life. That's the way I was living mine. And I never saw an answer to prayer. Never. I mean, finally, one day, I decided I must be doing something wrong. So I'm going to take this book, and I'm going to start reading this book at face value. And if it says something, I'm going to believe it's going to do what it says. And so I started reading things like, you know, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Now, that couldn't be true, could it, George?
It can be true.
But it's written in God's Word, is it not? So then I would look at that, and of course, one of the first places I was over there in Genesis one day, we were talking about Pharaoh and how that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart to show his glory. And I read that and I thought, you know, this loving, sweet God that I serve, it says here, he hardened Pharaoh's heart so he could show his power and his glory. So I asked the guy that was leading the class that day, I said, you know, what does this mean when it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? He said, well, Thurman, that's not what it really means. It means God allowed Pharaoh to harden his own heart. Right. You heard that, George?
Right.
I thought to myself, you know, I guess I'm not very smart or something. I don't understand how an infinitely powerful God that knows everything, that never makes a mistake, can say something that he don't mean. I don't understand this. So I thought, well, that teacher didn't know, so I'll just ask a PhD one day from the seminary when they come over to preach for our pastor when he's out of town or something. I'll hem him up somewhere and I'll ask him this question. And I did the same thing. You know, I said, what does it mean? He said, well, Thurman, you know, God's a loving, nice, wonderful God. He would never harden Pharaoh's heart, but he allowed Pharaoh to harden his own heart. I said, but sir, that's not what it says. It says the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, but that's not what it means, Thurman. So now I'm totally confused. I'm thinking, what in the world? What am I doing here? You know, we got a God that wrote a book. Have you been there, brother? You have too, huh? So I'm not the only one that's been deceived by that beast, huh? And so anyway, as I begin to look at that, and one day I finally decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to study this book. And I'm going to consume this book. And I'm going to start believing that everything you said, both good or bad, means what it says. And if you say that if I don't do things, you'll do this to me. If I do things, you'll do this to me. And of course, Dave went over that a while ago. In the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy, he's got 14 verses of blessings. I mean, and I love those. Now, you too, huh?
Amen.
If you will obey me, now that's the way he starts out, right?
Right.
If you will obey me and you will do everything I say in this book, then I will bless you, and he starts listing the blessings. And I like those. But it said I had to obey.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, How You Become Righteous, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.